When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always.
Always.
Use your head.
You are now listening to ChairShot Radio. Always use your head.
Ladies and gentlemen, everybody in between, welcome to another edition of ChairShot Radio Thursday afternoon with your boy Rance, aka Ray Cash, the Power Father Max. We are the midweek mainstay. This is Head Trauma. This is all the other superlatives. Max, kablam to you.
Kablam, sir. Kablam. How are you?
I'm good, but I'm not with the pleasantries today because I'm a little heated. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
annoyed.
The day ends in a wah, so that's standard procedure.
Oh, I'm not that guy.
You wake up with a grab.
Oh, am I that guy? Is that
no,
me?
No, you are not that guy.
What to say? Are you holding the mirror up in front of my face and telling me something I don't know?
No. You are the kind of guy that if you have a legitimate issue, you have no problems in airing it, but it's always a legitimate issue. So if you've got a grab, there is a reason behind that grab.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. That makes me feel a little better about having such gripe, because I was about to completely change the show and talk about happy stuff. If I'm going to be angry Ray.
Happy stuff doesn't get clicks and doesn't get views. People don't click on stuff what says everything is awesome. They want the drama. They want the tea. They want the heat.
Well, if you do want something that is not quite tea, is awesome and happy and worth your clicks, Ori the Draw did a fantastic interview with Kevin Kelly from New Japan. Go check that out. That's a big deal for her. It's a big deal for us. It's a big deal for the Radio Techers family. I know this is a Chair Shot show, but Chair Shot and Radio Techers rewrite with each other. So shout out to the girl, Ori. That's a huge step for her. And I want to make sure that I promote that as much as I can on anything I'm on. And I want to start with some positivity, because it ain't going to be positive at this.
No, I can only double down in what you said. All that that Kevin Kelly stuff stemmed from a conversation we had in that the pre-record for an episode of A Change in Attitude, and Ori was saying, "Oh, she'd love to get the thoughts of some of the people who were knocking around at the Attitude Era time," and she remarked that Kevin Kelly had liked one of the tweets about the show. So me and Tanner essentially pushed her, said, "Chance your arm." It can only say no. So she did. She put a tweet out, and Kevin Kelly was gracious enough to reply to her when she said, "Oh, I wonder what it'd take for me to get an interview with Kevin Kelly." And he said, you could just ask.
Such a great answer. Such a great answer.
So the ball rolled from there, and she absolutely smashed that interview. She was incredibly nervous, really, really nervous. This is, I think, the first time she's really interviewed anybody of significance in the wrestling community, and she smashed it. I'm really, really proud of her.
We love you, Ori. Fantastic stuff. Go check that out. We've retweeted it a million times. You can find it on both of our timelines. You can find it on the Radio Techers timeline. You can find it on her timeline. Ori,
it's here on the Chair Shot network as well. It dropped yesterday.
That's what's up. Look at us cross promoting. Let's see that. Okay. Happy shit's done. And I'm exaggerating just a smidge, because this isn't necessarily some spit you fire. You'll get that on the edge, because I have lots of fire to spit about a few things this week. But I'm massively annoyed, Max. Massively annoyed. Okay. So this week, because of the World Series coming up, or because of baseball in general, baseball playoffs, SmackDown is being preempted from Fox to FS1. Now, I know TV here is different than TV there, but to give you an example, I think I've explained to you before that there are essentially four main, but about 10 or so broadcast channels, which you don't have to have cable to have. Everybody, as long as you have a hookup, everybody gets those channels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At cable is all that you have to pay for a cable subscription, right? And FS1 is one of the lower tiered channels on said cable subscription. They don't get very many views. They're in a lot of households, but a lot of people don't really watch it, right? To give you some perspective, on Fox, the same game that's in Major League Baseball playoffs would get 6, 7, 8 million viewers. It'll get 1 or 2 million viewers in FS1.
Mm-hmm.
Just because people don't go to that channel.
Yeah.
So SmackDown has been preempted to Fox. I believe this is the third or fourth time they're doing that. And in doing that, they announced that we're going to have a Super SmackDown. And right now, both of the rosters are kind of in flux, because the new rosters don't take change until after next week, after Crown Jewel. So you technically have everybody available. So the main event, I believe, is Sasha versus Becky, and Brock Lesnar is appearing, and of course you got the Queen's Court and the King of the Ring.
Yes.
But they also announced that they're going to go an extra 30 minutes. So instead of from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time, it's 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Central Time. Now, all wrestling fans know SmackDown ends at 9. Rampage for AEW starts at 9, goes from 9 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Khan took that as a gotcha moment and said, "Oh, but I've been waiting for y'all to come at me. I got something for you." Tony Khan then took upon himself to feel, and he audibly tweeted, he called out WWE and said, "I can't wait to beat you, your flagship show, at your game." Now, clearly he's talking about demos, because ain't no way in hell that ain't no way in hell they'd be getting total viewers. There's no. Well,
I mean, we can delve into that right now. So there's been 9 episodes of Rampage so far. First one was on August the 13th. They got 740,000 viewers. The next week, which was the Punk debut, they got 1.129 million.
Amazing numbers.
The week after, 722,000. September 3rd, 696,000. September 10th, 670,000. September 17th, 642,000. September 24th, which was the 2-hour Grand Slam, 640,000. October 1st, 622,000. And then last week's, as of recording, October 8th, 502,000. So that is week on week since the second episode, that is drop after drop after drop. And from last week, from October 1st to October the 8th, it's a 19% drop in viewers. So you then mentioned about they'll be looking at demographics. So let's have a quick peek at that. Started in August the 13th with a 0.3, then rose to a 0.5 on the 20th, and then it has gone 0.34, 0.30, 0.27, 0.28. Grand Slam got a 0.29. October 1st was a 0.25, and last week's was a 0.17. So, yeah, the numbers are dropping like stones.
It's not a good look. And even the most ardent AEW fans recognize that Rampage isn't a bad show, but number one, they've taped a lot of them because they're in the same city. But number two, it's a terrible time slot for a wrestling show. Friday night at 9 o'clock. Many people think they should put it at six, put it before SmackDown, or better yet, y'all already playing WCW cosplay 6:05 Eastern time, just like the old on Saturdays, just like the old WCW Saturday night. It's right there for you. But I'm glad you gave those numbers to give some context, because Tony, in his own delusional cocaine riddled mind, believes that he's going to, and I don't know if he really believes this shit or he's just talking the good talk to get shit going. But that he's going to beat them at their own game. Now, he stacked his card as he should. Every card should be stacked. I'm not, no qualms with that.
With the roster that AEW have, full of superstar talent, every single event should be stacked because they have the talent to do so.
Facts. So the two matches that were announced were CM Punk versus Matt Sydal. And I think I told you a few weeks ago that Rampage is probably going to be the Punk show, like SmackDown initially was the Rock show. Makes sense?
Yeah, and it kind of adds credence to what Roman Reigns said a few weeks ago about actual needle movers. I mean, I know you probably weren't going to touch upon it, but there was a big kind of rattling of the hornet's nest on wrestling Twitter when he said about CM Punk and Daniel Bryan maybe not being needle movers. And it seems that he's wrong. I don't agree that they're not needle movers, because the numbers are proving that they are needle movers. It's just the issue is the needle is moving in the wrong direction. And then just to kind of further rub salt in those wounds, a news report came out from Forbes this week about Mr. Reigns. And he is currently, let me just find the report, but I believe I sent it to you.
I've seen it before you sent it to me, trust me.
Yeah. He's currently breaking WWE merchandise records in terms of sales, and he's rivaling the likes of Cena and The Rock and Austin in terms of selling merchandise. So the motherfucker is a needle mover. The guy is a fucking needle mover. It's as simple and clear as that. He's the biggest star in the wrestling world today. Fact. Proven fact.
Shout out to Tyson Kidd. Fact. I miss those days. And yes, Roman, apparently, my tribal chief, has been acknowledged. Again, a great... Look, come with the facts. I love that. So I believe the matches scheduled for Dynamite for Rampage are Punk versus Sydal, and I know they put it on Dynamite, where they announced it on Dynamite that it would be Jericho, Jake Hager, and Sammy Guevara versus Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page, Men of the Year, and Junior Dos Santos making his wrestling debut, which he's done fighting, so I'm with it. And the draw being, since they're in Miami and it's Heritage Night, Game Bread, Jorge Masvidal will be at ringside. So, two big matches. I'm not here for Jake Hager, but like those matches are going to be fun. This is, so first of all, I'm already annoyed that Tony Khan is out here talking the bullshit. But what has completely just blown my sensical mind, and I'm going to give it to you, Mags, is that I guess in retaliation for WWE, quote unquote, preempting his show, he's going to quote unquote preempt theirs by on YouTube before an hour before, so midway through SmackDown on YouTube live, commercial free. He's doing the buy-in, which you know is their pre-show name for their pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
with Lee Moriarty versus Bobby Fish and Bryan Danielson versus Minoru freaking Suzuki.
So has that been confirmed that that's on the buy-in?
That's on the buy-in. That has been confirmed. Tweeted out by Tony.
That feels, as someone who enjoys both AEW and NXT, that feels, it smacks of desperation. It feels like Hogan versus Goldberg in the Georgia Dome, where you throw in the biggest things that you can get out there. I mean, we spoke about the numbers recently and how they're dropping like stone. I mean, you've had private conversations about how it feels now that AEW are falling more and more into WCW traps. They're getting way less returns for their investments that they're making. They're throwing massive debuts at us week in, week out, and yet the numbers are still on a downward trajectory. And I have no problem with somebody talking their product up. You want to promote your product, you want people to have eyes on your product. The issue I have is you are lying to the viewers that this is the hottest thing to watch, because the numbers are so bad. That's so bad for your essentially your SmackDown rival show, and you're getting a quarter of the views of SmackDown on a channel with very similar viewer numbers. It almost smells of desperation from Tony Khan. Now, it may just be cocaine fueled. He may just kind of trying to put his big boy pants on. But yeah, I just get the feeling that this is the same kind of tropes that WCW did back in the day, where they wanted to challenge WWF when Eric Bischoff was saying, I want prime time on TBS, I want this, I want to start 4 minutes early, I want to give away their results. Is that what we're getting to? Are we going to get to the point where Tony Khan is giving away news of WWE because it's part of this kind of rivalry that he's formulating? And it's a very, very one-sided rivalry as well, because you are hearing nothing at all from the WWE's part. Yeah, they may have preempted the show, but there's legitimate reasons behind that. And it just seems like he's shouting into the void and trying to rile up his very niche group of fans on Twitter. And it proves that they're niche with the numbers that they're getting on a week-to-week basis for Rampage. It's all well and good being the loudest dog in the park, but when you haven't got those numbers to back it up, you look like an idiot.
And for the record, even if WWE is doing this to say, fuck you, AEW, you chose to put your show directly after theirs. Mm-hmm. So, like, it'd be different if they moved their show to fuck with yours, which what people think NXT did that, right? Mm-hmm. NXT was always on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. They just moved networks. But nonetheless, that is much closer to them trying to preempt you than this, because they have established Friday, 7 to 9. You put your show at 9. So when they go over, you can't be mad. Now, stream of consciousness. If you need to stop me, stop me. But I'm just stream of consciousness situation here now. I want to explain to the people why this bothers me. I am a child of the Attitude Era, as you are. So I remember those days very vividly. DX going on the take. Eric Bischoff challenging Vince to the fight. Giving away Foley's title win. Like, I remember all this stuff. Now, mm-hmm. I need you to understand something. In 1998, I was 10 years old. I'm 33. I'm not a fucking child anymore. The shit that I liked when I was 10, or the shit I thought was cool when I was 10, ain't so cool no more. I am grown, and I don't need the drama in my life at this point where I appreciate competition, but I don't need you. I don't need the billionaires to be out here talking shit about the other. It does not make me happy. It does not make me interested. It doesn't do anything for me. If it does something for you, cool. And I'm not about going to begrudge you for what makes you more of a fan. But for me, it looks tacky. It looks desperate. It looks ridiculous. And it looks stupid. In a situation like this, it makes your show look bad. Because when the numbers come out, and if and when SmackDown throttles your bitch ass, what the fuck were you doing?
He was making the fan base a very niche, very kind of a separated, ridiculed at times fan base. He was making them choose which side to go on, because there are a hell of a lot of fans who aren't involved in this ridiculous wrestling Twitter or RWC community that we're involved in, who would happily watch both shows. When you are making fans choose, you are going to be the loser, especially with when the numbers are proving that you are losing those fans hand over fist. You aren't retaining the core audience that you've got now. If you're making then that core audience then choose, well, I really want to watch SmackDown. Am I gonna follow the crowd and miss AEW Rampage now? He's going to have a shit fit when he's getting sub 500 next week.
If he gets sub 500, my God. Now, again, stream of consciousness. If you need to stop me, stop me. But I want to explain to people, when I talk about this stuff, some people make fun of me or laugh about it because they feel like it's not that big a deal, or you're all doom and gloom for no reason. Let me explain to you my issue with it. And I'm going to give you an analogy. Just a few days ago, FanSided's Daily DDT. FanSided is a major, major online publication. Their wrestling site, Daily DDT, which I've applied to work for. Major, major site. Tons of views, verified, all this. One of their writers, and I won't say his name because I'm not trying to diss the dude. I don't know the guy. But one of their writers wrote a column that's named, and this is, but it's important. You'll see my point. And I know you know the point, but you guys listen to see my point. Britt Baker undoubtedly now surpasses the four horsewomen in popularity. Now, this is, again, that FanSided and Daily DDT, I get it. It's opinion site and whatnot, but the viewers it has, people read these articles and take what's on these articles, because so much of what's being put on there is news, and they take it as fact, right? So now people are going to take this and use it as evidence to say Britt Baker is better and more popular than the four horsewomen. Now, let me give you some context. Sasha Banks, the four horsewomen are Sasha Banks, Bayley, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte in the WWE. Let's give some context to this whole thing about popularity. Sasha Banks just is a major character on a show that just won an Emmy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Becky Lynch, until she had her baby, was, if not the biggest, clearly the second biggest star in WWE in terms of merchandise sales, in terms of time on screen, in terms of quarter hours and draws.
Headlining WrestleManias.
WrestleMania?
The first female to be on the cover of a WWE video game.
Not to mention, she's guested on major shows too. Mm-hmm. Okay? Charlotte Flair is a Flair. I really should not say shit else. But if you want to get some facts to that, Charlotte Flair has been the face of the Fox move. Charlotte Flair has done every TV show, I'm talking like interview show there is to do, basically, except for Jimmy Fallon. She's dead and done all of them, right? Again, also, she's a fucking flare. And lastly, Bayley is the least popular of the four. Yes, but there was a point where Bayley sold more merch than John Cena. In fact, if we're talking over the long haul since they started to now, Bayley sold more merch than all of them, probably.
Yeah, she had the most vocal fan base, I would have said, up until Becky really hit the man gimmick. I think Bayley's fan base was massive. I mean, the stuff with Izzy that broke into mainstream. I understand caping for your favorite. I absolutely do. But you make a massively valid point that that Fansided and Daily DDT are primarily a news outlet. Whilst they do opinion pieces, and after reading the piece that you're talking about, this isn't labeled as an opinion piece. Nope. This is the title of it is Britt Baker undoubtedly now surpasses the four horsewomen in popularity.
Yep.
Ridiculous comment. So let's
all due respect to Britt, because that's the worst part about this is she gets slandered in this whole thing and she's fantastic. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is no slight on Britt Baker whatsoever. I think her rise over the last 18 months from somebody who really struggled with the weight of being the face of the AEW division, getting injured, which was arguably the best thing that happened to her because it gave her time to focus on her being a character. Mm-hmm. I think there's an argument to be made that she was the star of AEW in the COVID era. Yep. That being said, let's talk some numbers. So Dr. Britt Baker, DMD on Twitter, @RealBrittBaker. Total followers, 248,000.
Okay.
Right, so you said Bayley was probably the least popular. The four horsewomen.
Yes, sir.
So she has got 1.6 million. So already we're 0 and 1. So then let's go Sasha. She gets probably the most amount of grief. She's got 2.2 million. Right, so then let's go for Charlotte Flair. Oh, Charlotte Flazier, as I've spelt it with my absolute massive sausage fingers. But Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair, 2 million. So even she's lacking behind Sasha Banks, which you can understand. Sasha has just been in The Mandalorian. She's arguably one of the biggest crossover stars that we've seen in WWE over the last few years. Let's go for the man. Recently come back to WWE. Again, wow. Sasha beats the man, but the man has also got 2 million. So the closest that Britt Baker gets to any of those is still 1.4 million followers behind. And that's just Twitter. If we looked into Instagram, Facebook, all the social media. Yeah. I really do take umbrage with articles that pass opinion off as fact. It's a real bugbear. Does that mean that Britt Baker isn't an amazing wrestler, that she isn't one of the most popular wrestlers in AEW? It does not mean that at all. What it means is that the headline is bullshit. It's in simple, clear, this guy is bullshitting a headline.
And you may be asking right now, Ray, Mags, why are you bringing that up in the first place? The reason I bring that up is because equating it to Tony Khan and what he's done and what he's doing. Right now, the wrestling Twitter sphere, the IWC, is as disgusting and toxic as it's ever been. Mm-hmm. And the reason it is that way, the reason I, Rance Morris, fuck my Twitter name, I abhor Dave Meltzer is because these things are thrown to the IWC knowing that people are going to latch on to them, and they're using opinion and conjecture as fact to make their points, which just divides this community, because nobody can baseline say, well, this is fact unequivocally. Someone's going to sit, if I have one argument with one person, I can argue with 1,000 people. One person's going to use that article saying, well, Britt Baker's more popular than Four Horsewomen. There's not a metric that exists. Britt Baker got into wrestling because of the Four Horsewomen.
There's an old adage that goes something like, men will lie, women will lie, numbers will never lie. And the numbers don't lie. As amazing of a transformation Britt Baker's had, the numbers don't lie. And it spells disaster for her at Rampage.
Oh, well, shout out to Braun's uncle. So getting back to Tony, I only wanted to explain to you why this stuff bothers me so much. And getting back to Tony, what he's doing now, I don't begrudge him for promoting his product. That's what he should do. Mm-hmm. I don't like when you call out the other, and this is just in general. I don't like when one company calls out the other. I didn't like it when Vince said blood and guts, but you know what? You know, ultimately, given all the things that AW says about him, that's very, very small. Mm-hmm. People still to this day try to cite, well, Triple H said a piss and company. Yes, Triple H said piss and company in relation to Billy Gunn, one of their trainers, who was on WWE's screen making a joke about not working there. But you'll never add that part.
And he said that 2 years ago.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sami Zayn, which is always still referenced now, he mentioned AEW 2 years ago.
I don't even see that reference. That's a great point.
Yeah, I forgot about that. AEW's last mention of WWE on programming, the last dig at WWE on their programming was last week.
I was about to say.
Arn Anderson essentially slating Coda for do you want to go back to having a star on your face? And I really took kind of offense with that, because he was a producer for WWE at that time.
He was
in those meetings. He was there when those ideas are pitched, when the storylines are formulated, and this motherfucker didn't pull his Glock out and smatter anyone's brains across the concrete. He sat down, he took the paychecks, and he agreed with it. It's only after he left the company that he suddenly was so offended about it that it needed to be brought up in the storyline. It's so annoying. It's so annoying, the duplicitousness of some of these talents. When they hop to AEW, they show their true face. And that's why I've got so much respect for Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Because he came out when he came to AEW originally and said, I love Vince McMahon. The only problem is he was so protective of me that I feel I had to go somewhere else to essentially do what I want. And then he said this week, the reason why he was held back in WWE is because he lied about his CTE, and that's why he couldn't get cleared to wrestle, because it was him that lied to WWE. To try and get clearance, but WWE is the big bad. WWE is they're holding back my favorites, and these wrestlers have had to leave the company to be able to wrestle again.
Mags, Brian was retired because they wanted to push Roman Reigns. Remember?
Yes, that is also very, very true. It's ridiculous, and it harkens back to exactly what you said. Somebody has an opinion or a viewpoint, and it gets repeated so much that it becomes a fact. And the fact is that Daniel Bryan was held back, and nobody wanted to push him in WWE, and it was only because of the fans that they got pushed. And you have covered this point time and time again. Those fans were worked into that, because Daniel Bryan was always the plan. Always the plan.
I'm saying, man. Oh. So let's pivot. I want to pivot to the buy-in part. Mm-hmm. Because, again, I don't begrudge him for promoting his show. I hate the fact that he's calling out WWE. Number one, I don't like seeing that in any capacity. That doesn't do anything for me as a fan. If anything, by the way, let me mention this real quick. At a certain point, if I'm watching a show, If I'm watching The Walking Dead, right? No, better yet, let me give a more pertinent example, a more relevant example. If I'm watching The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, you know who that is, right?
Yeah, I know who Jimmy Fallon is.
Okay. And the whole show, he's dissing Stephen Colbert and The Late Show. Okay. Why am I watching Jimmy Fallon? Exactly. Would I just want to go watch Stephen Colbert?
Yeah.
Am I off on that? If I'm watching the NBA, and all they're talking about in the game the whole time is how much the NBA is better than the NFL, and the NFL mm-hmm. sucks, and this and that, I should just watch the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to talk about them all damn show,
and we've had this conversation before. AEW have got a very rich, very deep talent pool. There is absolutely no reason to score points against a company that isn't really putting out the same kind of product that you're putting out. You are appealing to the indie kids, the kind of work rate style wrestling fans.
If you watch Raw, they're clearly not doing the same show.
Yeah, exactly. So focus on that. Focus on what makes your product the best, because it has the potential to be the best wrestling show on God's green earth. Yeah. But when you're always nipping at the competition, you're putting the competition in people's minds. You're saying, well, yeah, why are they digging at them? I might go and check that show out to see why they're having these issues with WWE. And you're splitting your electorate. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
And I'll go as far to say this. If your digs were proving factually, tangibly, that more people are watching because you're doing it,
mm-hmm.
then I could hate it all I want, but I couldn't say shit. Give me them numbers one more time again.
Okay, so let me get those numbers up. That last week's was 502,000. So I'll give it another way. So let's get a calculator out.
We good. We're doing numbers.
Well, if I can find my bloody calculator. Calculator. So what did we start with? 1.129 million.
That's not the first one. The first one was 700 something.
No, but we're giving the benefit of the doubt. Okay.
So start with plus. How much you?
So 1.129. Wow, I pressed the wrong gas button there. This is going to take some good editing by Mr. Cash here.
This is fantastic podcasting.
It is. 1.129, and so then we lost. We went to 722. So that's a loss of 407,000 week one. All right. So 722 to 696. I mean, even I can work that out. That's a loss of 26,000 week two. Mm-hmm. 26,000 again week three. 28,000 week four. Week five, 2,000, which is okay. Essentially the same number. Week six, 18,000, and then last week, 120,000. So the numbers aren't lying. Tony's the product is great. I mean, Rampage is probably not as good as Dynamite for me. It definitely feels kind of like a
filler.
Very 205 live, but like you said, it's a CM Punk vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're losing more than 600,000 from the Punk debut to current numbers, that's more than 50% of your viewers are clearly not that interested in Punk.
Or something is up, and I can't put my finger on it because I don't want to put blame on one person, but something is up. Let's talk about the buy-in real quick. Now, I understand. I've always been a person that believes that you save big matches for a certain point. Now, there are big matches you give away, but there are certain big matches you want to save for people to have to pay for, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're in a world now where you just throw matches out there because TV is king and not pay-per-view anymore. I've accepted that. I still feel weird about it, but I've accepted that. Now, there's a difference to me, though. Somebody's going to sit here and say I'm full of shit. Okay. There's a difference to me, though, between booking major matches on your major shows and booking what many fans would have considered a dream match to spite another fucking company. Mm-hmm. Now, there is no... I will fight you to... I will fight somebody, literally, if you want to sit here and argue me. That Daniel Bryan versus Minoru Suzuki isn't one, a hotshot match. I didn't know Suzuki was still in the States. And two, it's not directly booked to diss Vince McMahon. I'm going to take your guy who you got popular and you made a superstar and you had headline WrestleMania three times and I'm going to put him on free TV on YouTube against this legend while your show is on just because I don't like that you put 30 minutes of your show in mine.
Yeah, I mean...
So that's such a bitch move to me.
Yeah, like you said, if this was a match that you had planned even for a couple of weeks, because Suzuki's been in the US now, about 3-4 weeks maybe?
Yeah.
So it's likely that... And we all know that Daniel Bryan wanted to face Suzuki. He's made it abundantly clear that he wanted a New Japan run, and Suzuki was on the top of that list.
Yeah.
So if you knew that this was happening, you would have promoted it as soon as possible. It would have been on last week's Dynamite. Next week, we're having Daniel Bryan versus Suzuki. He dropped the news today, like 2.5 days before Rampage. Why? If you had that in your back pocket, you would be promoting that to the hill. It's definitely hotshot booking. It's definitely what WCW used to do. And like it or not, fans have to realize that Tony Khan is falling into these traps time and time and time again, taking on every single person who is released from WWE. Hot-shotting programming, moving programming about so he's head-to-head with his competition, mentioning him all the time in press junkets and Twitter.
On TV.
Yeah, it's so eerily similar, and at the time I was like you, it was cool. It was the hot thing to do. But times are not the same anymore. It's not the same. We've aged. We've grown as wrestling fans, and now we're being essentially forced to choose. And yeah, I don't think I'm down with that.
I'm definitely not down with it in a world where I have access to everything at the drop of a hat or the press of a button. But the thing about me that bothers me most about Danielson versus Suzuki is this. If it was something you were doing that was going to further your business, even if it was hotshotted, I could hate it all I want. I'm not gonna hate on good business. I cannot like it, but I can acknowledge, word to Roman, that is good business. Throwing it on YouTube, how is that helping any form of your business? You're killing the potential quarter hour it could give one of your shows.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're bringing attention. Now, if I'm a full disclosure, if I'm a wrestling fan, that's the only match of the whole night I give a fuck about. So why would I watch Rampage when I got the match I wanted?
And you could watch it after SmackDown on YouTube.
That's the craziest thing about it. Don't want to get on YouTube. This is the thing, hold on real quick. This is the thing that pisses me off by YouTube, because they pulled this lie on us for Dark and Elevation when they first debuted. Talking about all the numbers that these shows got. You and I did this. As of the showtime, nobody was watching. But as you know with YouTube, the numbers never stop. So 3 weeks later, you got 4 or 5 million views. Of course, people, AW Dark did 5 million views. No, it didn't. It did 200,000, if that, while the show was on. So I've already said, I refuse to support this petulant child and his attention-grabbing mommy, pay attention to me moment. And I'm not going to watch Brian versus Suzuki until next week. So I'm serious. Because look, and I get it. The WWE has been the devil for the longest. I get it as a company, but they don't insult my intelligence in a way, fans are going to say, yes, they do. The shit in the fucking ring is subjective. As a business, they don't insult my intelligence. Tony Khan is literally telling me I'm a fool and saying, he's literally stealing my wallet out of my pocket and saying, hey, I got a wallet for sale. It's 2021. Even Ringling Brothers went out of business. There ain't no circuses no more.
Ringling Brothers, brilliant.
The Carnies are dead. It doesn't exist.
So, you mentioned AW Dark, Dark Elevation. Do you remember when Tony and the team of AW said that those shows were going to be so different that they were not essentially just a Dynamite Light? Well, that turned out to be a big fat bullshit.
But we do that.
But let's again. Numbers don't lie. Let's break into numbers. So what would you say is a very rough average that NXT gets in a week?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
650.
650, okay. So would you say in terms of scale compared to Raw and SmackDown that NXT is essentially Dark or Dark Elevation? Because you'd have Dynamite as probably as Raw, well, actually now probably more like SmackDown with it being the flagship. You'd have Rampage as the Raw.
Yeah.
And for me, I'd say if you joined Dark and Dark Elevation, that essentially becomes the third brand NXT.
Especially now that they've rebooted and it's back to developmental again, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, currently now watching, and it's premiering now, the episode of Dark for this week. How many people are watching live?
We're recording this on a Tuesday evening, y'all. So that's what he means by live. That's Dark Elevation, right?
No, Dark Elevation was yesterday.
Oh, Dark.
I'll get to that.
I mean, look, man, there's Dark Elevation, Dark Beneath the Sheets, Dark, you know,
Hey, the most in the ocean. There's so many darks.
So, dark chocolate.
Dark, right. that's Mark Henry's show.
Oof, don't get started on him. A lot of stories coming out about Mr. Mark Henry and a lot of people saying Leo Rush was right. Jordan Miles was right. But that's for another tale. But yes, so go on. How many people are currently now watching AW Dark live?
So I know I'm going to overshoot this, but I want to give them some respect. 100,000.
You think 100,000 people are watching it live now?
I don't, but I want to be respectful and not lowball them. So let's say 100,000.
It's definitely not lowballing. It's 8,900.
Figgity fuck.
Yep. Yesterday's episode of Dark Elevation, which I think was headlined by Ruby Soho.
FTR versus Lee Moriarty and somebody else was on that show too. So
yep,
that's a fun match.
Ty Conte was on the match on the show as well. Okay. That got 249,000 views so far.
And that's from the moment they debuted yesterday at what, 6 or 7 to right now. So that's a full 24 hours later.
So let's go a week ago. Last week's Dark, 369,000. So that's people have had a full week to watch that, yep, and it's still got less than 500,000. Dark Elevation, a week ago, 319,000. Going back a couple of weeks now, so Dark a couple of weeks ago, 366,000. Dark Elevation did great numbers. That did 2 weeks ago, 506,000. I mean, that's pretty level to what Rampage did.
Can you do something for me?
I'll try.
For me, can you tell me what the last B in the Elite did? I'm curious to see what the correlation or the difference is.
Oh, I think an episode of that dropped yesterday.
Yesterday or a couple days ago, yeah, because I saw what the homie John Alba said is the greatest entrance ever. It's some bullshit. It's stupid.
Okay, so yesterday's is 215. The week before, 249. They seem to be averaging around 250, and then they'll get ones that jump out.
Because they have major stuff in them, yeah.
So like 4 weeks ago when Adam Cole essentially made his debut back on BTE, they got a couple of spikes, 436 and 567K. But it quickly dropped back. Some points they were even struggling to hit 150K. So
what you're telling me is that a bullshit clip show that started something to do while they were making the towns in Japan makes comparable numbers to your YouTube shows.
Okay. It goes deeper than that because Being the Elite has 503,000 subscribers.
Okay.
AW Wrestling YouTube channel has 2.77 million. So they've got five times the subs. They've got more than five times the subs and are not managing to just be sneaking ahead of essentially the vlogs, the road stories.
Do one more thing for me. Go to www.com. Their YouTube. And I want you to just do a quick scroll of all of the clips from yesterday's Raw. Because again, I know this comes out on Thursday. We're doing this on Tuesday, Inside Baseball. I want you to tell me what the least YouTube view of one of the clips from that show yesterday was, if you can figure it out, because it's gonna be no more than 10 or 12.
Okay, so they put a hell of a lot of content out.
Was it more than I thought it was?
No, in terms of just amount of videos, I mean, there's NXT 2.0 videos. There is
right. Because yeah.
There's Spanish language videos. So the latest Raw video that they put out was the top 10 Raw moments from Monday's episode, and that was 4 hours ago, and it's got 111,000 views. They put on a couple of classic matches, which have got around 250,000 views. But then if we look at actual clips from Raw, 19 hours ago, Drew McIntyre drops Big E with a Claymore, 909,000 views.
And that's 3 minutes and 12 seconds of a clip.
Yeah, essentially.
I'm with you now. Mansoor blindsides, I mean, Mustafa Ali blindsides Mansoor, the best stage attack. 215K, yeah. John Morrison tapped into his chi, 160K.
Bianca,
Natalia,
Bianca, Bella, Sasha Banks versus Becky and Charlotte. That's a 5 minute video, 594,000.
So just hold your thoughts there, because when I say that y'all bitch about the numbers for Raw, but you see the numbers of a 3 second clip of their match does more numbers than the whole Dark or Elevation show.
So let's go to, I mean, this has gone way longer than we ever.
We're about really to end, I promise you, because I was serious. Like, I got to go eat, you got to go to sleep. We're about to end. So points need to be made here.
So I've gone to Social Blade. People know Social Blade as one of the places to get analytics for all social medias, mainly for YouTube, but you can also get it for things like Twitter. So today, let's get the date up. So we are on the 12th. Numbers go from, so they're essentially 24 hours behind. But yes. Yesterday they got, WWE got 29.5 million views for a total so far of 63 billion views. So
that's WWE.
Yep. So let's try All Elite Wrestling. I mean, I know these numbers are it's hyperbole. It's just interesting to look at. This AEW should have nowhere near the numbers that WWE have. But their last count, they got 1.5 million. So 20 times the numbers.
That's interesting.
Well, okay. Try BTE. You see if that channel's on there. Oh, whoa, that's a totally different BTE. Being the Elite. So being the Elite, their last count was 180,000 in one day. So, yeah, the WWE are a content creating machine.
All right, but one more thing.
Numbers don't lie.
Well, there's a rap song. What was it, Jay-Z, I think? Or was it Yo Gotti? When women lie, men lie. Women lie, men lie. Numbers don't lie. Yeah, so that's the saying we all know. Doesn't matter what culture you're from. Last thing I want to say, and we can get out of here, and I'll throw it to you, but I think the biggest issue with all of this is that Tony Khan, and I don't begrudge it because he's done a fantastic job by and large with AEW. I think he's shown a fantastic ability to pivot when necessary. He's done a lot of really good things. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest issue is, and we've called him a money mark because he is, but the biggest issue is this is essentially, he didn't get into the business because he wanted the business to be great. And maybe that's part of it. But he got into the business because he wanted to live out a fantasy that he always had.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? He said that. I was a kid. Something he said made me think of that because he said he was talking about the competition between companies, for example, WWE and WCW, because Tony's a little older than me and probably right along with you. But so he's in our essentially our generation. But he said, I want to get back to the competition that we had when I was a kid. You are trying to relive something that you liked when you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
My dude, that was 30 years ago. 20, 30 years ago.
The business has changed.
Everything from 20, 30 years ago ain't good. John Gruden just got fired for emails 10 years ago. This is not, it's because what he said 10 years ago, what he said completely was as bullshit as it can be. But 10 years ago, you probably would have been as mad about it as you are now. It's a different 10-20 years ago, gay people couldn't get married.
Correct.
So like, everything was different. So you want to bring that back? That's the of all of the stuff that happened in the Attitude Era. What you want to bring back is the companies warring against each other. Mind you, the reason they fought against each other wasn't because they were in their space, wasn't because they want to be the best. I want to be the best. You want to be the best. It was because the loser was going to lose their company.
Mm-hmm.
WCW was out of business a year after the war ended. WWE literally was, Vince was paying people out of his pocket.
Mm-hmm. He was days away from going bankrupt.
Literally. Mm-hmm. So like, the audacity, the unmitigated gall of you to fester this fake facade of a war to placate your cocaine-riddled ego slaps me in the face as a fan.
And what is the most ironic, for me at least, is he portrays himself as one of the people. He gives the fans what they want. Yep. He's worth $6 billion. $6 billion. He is not one of us. He's not one of us. He buys people like us. He trades people like us.
So when I was a kid, what I asked for as a kid, I wanted to go to the wrestling show. If I was lucky, in fact, I never went to a wrestling show until I was old enough to buy my own ticket, for the record. Keep that a buck. But, excuse me. Well, I'm not going to edit that out. Fuck it. But, right? That was an angry cough. It was. Yeah. God was like, slow down, young man. But if I wanted to, It'd be a big deal for me to get to the Toyota Center, or back in the day, the Summit or the Compact Center or the Astrodome, right? It's a huge deal. For Tony, Tony grew up in outside of Chicago, right? He wanted to go see wrestling shows. His dad would fly him on his private jet to the show of his choosing. We are not the same.
Yeah.
We are not. So he asked his dad, "Dad, can I have a wrestling company?
Yeah. Can I have the keys to the Lear so we can we can fly halfway across the world to go and watch my favorite wrestlers?"
Pardon me, dear father.
Man of the people.
Pardon me, dear father, but I know that I am the vice president of your Fulham football club, and I know that I am the vice president of your Jacksonville Jaguars football club. But if you don't mind, dear father, will you please loan me $1 billion so I can start a wrestling company? Why, sure, son. You're going to get it when I die anyway. We are not the same, bro.
No.
We not the same.
No. Absolutely not.
All right. We can go home now. I'm at this Ray Cash. Mags is at Popfather Mags. We out of here. This motherfucker to piss me off.
Go to Pro Wrestling Tees /TheChairShot and pick up some merchandise, because we actually need the money. Tony Khan, we don't need it. We need that money. but yeah, this has been Ray. I've been Mags. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.